This piece was brought to you by Whole Foods Market, wholefoodsmarket.com.
In 2012, we put together a Rosh Hashanah special with Devra First of The Forward, and we're happy to rebroadcast it today. Happy New Year.
Hi, I'm Devra First, food editor of The Forward newspaper, and this is HeritageRadioNetwork.org's Rosh Hashanah special. Rosh Hashanah has always been one of my favorite holidays. When I was a kid, that was mostly because it allowed me to indulge in as much honey as I liked, with or without the customary apples. Today, I still love the sweetness of the holiday, but I've also come to love it for its dinner table. Almost all of the dishes we traditionally eat for Rosh Hashanah are imbued with meaning, and much is open to personal interpretation and reinvention. The recipes Jewish communities eat for the new year were built around the ideas of prosperity and sweetness. The dishes were supposed to be symbols of good wishes for the year to come. Unlike many other major Jewish holidays, Rosh Hashanah isn't tied to a harvest, leaving its dishes open to far wider interpretation. Many communities around the world built their dishes around five foods that have names in Hebrew or Aramaic that are cognates for things that the community wished for the year ahead. For example, Fenugreek in Aramaic is rubia, which is similar to yerbu, the word for increase or multiply. The hope is, by eating fenugreek, that one's good wishes for the year ahead will be increased and multiplied. Along those lines, there are five foods in particular that are supposed to be eaten. Gourds, fenugreek, leek, beet greens and chard, and dates. In Sephardic homes, these foods are often incorporated in the meal. Ashkenazi Jews in Eastern Europe took a different route. If you grew up in an American Jewish home, you likely saw a parade of Ashkenazi classics come across your holiday table. Roasted chicken, brisket, matzo ball soup, gefilte fish, apple or honey cake, and tzimis, a sweet carrot and raisin dish, are all traditional of the holiday. But these are far from the only traditional foods. Jews around the globe developed their own customary dishes with what was available locally. Turkish Jews borrowed from the five items that we listed before. In this custom, pumpkin is believed to ward off evil decrees. Leeks bring luck, and sesame seeds represent prosperity. They all conveniently provide the basis for a delicious menu. Their dinners were often wrapped up with tishbiti, a unique twist on a honey cake made with nuts, much like baklava, but without the pastry. Persian Jews borrowed from their neighbors, making traditional Iranian dishes, like the tangy chicken dish fesanjan and verdant herb rice speckled with pistachios. This year, there's more going on in New York's Jewish food scene than ever before, or at least for the last 100 years. Jewish restaurants like Kutcher's Tribeca, Mile End Deli and Sandwich, and Shelsky's are breathing new life into a somewhat neglected cuisine. My favorite example of this year at least, is the Gefilteria, a small artisanal gefilte fish company based in Brooklyn that uses sustainably sourced ingredients. Gefilte fish is perhaps the most misunderstood Jewish food, and it's certainly the most maligned. What was once the hallmark of balabustas, or Jewish housewives, met its demise when it was commercialized and stuck into a jar in the 1960s. The Gefilteria owners, three young Brooklynites, Liz Alpern, Jeffrey Askwitz, and Jackie Lillenstein, are trying to change the dish's reputation. Their gefilte manifesto on their website proclaims, "We of the Gefilteria plan to bring our foods out of the jar and back to the street, to the pushcarts where we began, to the flavors of the people." I spent a day with Jeff and Liz recently working on a story, watching them do their test run for the Rosh Hashanah orders. And I have to tell you, their fish looks so much more like a pate than anything that has ever come out of a jar. It would convince any naysayer. Michael Solomonov is a talented chef behind the James Beard award-winning restaurant Zahav, which serves up innovative Israeli food in Philadelphia. Thanks for joining us, Mike.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So what do you have on tap for Rosh Hashanah this year at Zahav?
Well, we are doing sort of a Rosh Hashanah menu. Starting from Sunday, we're going to actually run it till Thursday. We're going to do a little honey cake and grilled duck liver with apples. We're going to do honey sort of dumplings, like fried dumplings, like lokamais, sort of like a yeasted donut with apples and honey. And we just, we're doing like braising legumes and pomegranate juice and serving that with duck. And we're actually doing our hummus with chanterelle mushrooms and pine nuts.
That sounds amazing. What did you grow up with for Rosh Hashanah? Did you guys have brisket or tzimis?
Yeah, we did brisket and tzimis, and we just always like did apples and honey all the time.
Sounds not so dissimilar from my childhood. So if you're not celebrating Rosh Hashanah this year in a restaurant like Sahab, take advantage of the fact that Rosh Hashanah fell early this year and the green markets are still bursting with color. Try picking up some veggies and fruit that are still in season. Tomatoes are really excellent and corn is still available. This has been Deborah First, food editor of the Forward newspaper for HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Shana Tova Mituka. Have a happy and sweet new year.